You want to hear a fun stat?
I would love it.
And then apparently Big Trent said something that that everybody needs to hear. Okay?
Was it Big Dom?
No, not Big Dom. No, Big Trent. Big Trent. Check this out. Thanks to our buddy Nick Wagner, who does a great job covering the 49ers. He's the one who sent this out. This is fun. Ready? Since the 49ers acquired Christian McCaffrey in 2022, Brock Purdy has been under center for a total of 10 snaps without McCaffrey, Debo, and Kittle. 10 snaps.
Okay.
7 of those snaps were passing plays. How do you feel he did?
0 for 7 with 5 picks.
Not 5, not 6.
Totally.
Not 7.
Yep. How'd I do?
Brock went 3 for 7 for 49 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception.
Oh, wow.
Now, 5 of those 10 snaps came in mop-up duty in an ugly loss against the Kansas City Chiefs. If you remember, that was Christian's first game with the 49ers, and he did not play a full complement of snaps because he showed up to the facility about 7 hours before the game. It was actually Friday.
Right.
But no, five of those snaps came prior to Brock Purdy even being the starting quarterback for the 49ers. Okay? There's your small sample. Now, we could play it the other way, too. Purdy has been under center with all 3 of them on the field for a total of 537 snaps.
Okay.
And in those plays, Brock is 299 of 449 for 3,903 yards, 25 touchdowns against 8 interceptions, also 155 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. That's Brock Purdy with his big 3 weapons.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's better when he has the big 3 weapons. And the idea of him being, quote, under center, I'm going to allow Nick the latitude that he probably wasn't.
Those were my words, not his. He just called them snaps.
Okay. Yeah. That's better.
Right.
Because under center is something we don't often see now in the National Football League.
Fine.
With the pistol and the shotgun and all the
center.
Rest of it. Sure.
He was behind
near
center.
Near the center.
Yes. He was
fine.
On the field as the quarterback of the football team. For that many snaps.
What that stat tells me is that we have no idea how he's going to look without those 3 on the field. Because you want to talk about small sample, and I know that we've all used that, and I think Kirk Morrison this morning with the guys in the morning roast talked about a small sample size, which kind of triggered me a little bit.
Does it?
Because
why?
At what point does a small sample become a medium sample? When you talk about 10 snaps, that is a small sample size to me. When you look at... Now, we're coming up on 2 full seasons worth of regular season starts. Is that still a small sample?
It's not that small. I get what they're saying in terms of, like, we want as much data as possible. If you're talking about it in terms of what kind of a contract are you going to offer them. But, no, it's not a small sample if what you're trying to find out is if Brock is good. It's not. You want it to be, some of you. You want it to be.
Well, you want it to be if you want to disprove it.
Yeah, because you want to not be convinced. You want to know what small sample size Steve does? I bet you've all experienced this 1,000 times. Brock Purdy can be 4-2 in the playoffs, and one of those losses isn't really his. He can be 4-2 in the playoffs. He can have been to an NFC title game every time he's played quarterback. He can win football games at what feels like, I don't have the data in front of me right now, but it feels like something in the neighborhood of 75 to 80% of the games he starts, they win. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. What's he at right now? About 24-7 or something like that?
18-5 regular.
Okay.
4-2 post. So he's at 22-7.
Okay. Yep. All right. So there you go. So whatever that is, that feels like that.
About 70%. Darn near.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. So he can win all those games. He can have success in the playoffs. He can be 5th in the MVP. He can throw for more yards than any 49er quarterback has ever thrown for in the history of this organization in a season. He can go over 30 touchdown passes in a season. He can do all that stuff. And then he'll go out on Christmas and turn the ball over 4 times. And someone will go, see, I told you, he sucks.
Yep.
That is the small sample size Steve stuff that I can't stand, especially in the social media generation. That's social media Steve. That's your name if you do that. You watch for three seasons, and it's like, good, this is great. That day was mediocre. This is good. That was good. That was really good. That was kind of good. They win almost all their games, going to the NFC title game both years, and then you have a bad quarter. Told you, he sucks. That's what I hear a lot. And maybe that's just fanning. You know, you got nacho cheese on your cheek, and you're like, he sucks. Okay. But like, come on. Come on. And I know some of you are dialing that up for Monday already. You're getting it ready. You're getting your take ready before the game even starts. Mine's hopeful. I think that's my prediction. My prediction is he's still going to be very, very functioning as a quarterback. And my prediction is that the 49ers are going to win this game and that he is going to look good. Will he look great? I don't know. That's hard to say. And it's like I would predict that Brock Purdy, I'm going to go one turnover max. I'm going to go less than five sacks. I'm going to go north of 220 passing and a W. Like that would be my prediction. But some of you are just, you're turning the wheel already. You're getting
ready.
Well,
you're champing at the bit to make yourself right.
This will prove that he is a product of the system.
This reminds me of my old buddy, Chef Sean, who I used to live next to for 20, 25 years. And he had an expression, make yourself right. And he said that to one of his bosses. He was a chef. And the chef was coming down on him for something. And he's like, you just want to make yourself right. And that's what a lot of fans are waiting for this Sunday. You're waiting to make yourself right. Because if Brock Purdy goes 17 of 24 for a .178 and one touchdown and one pick, it doesn't matter if they win or not. What it's going to tell people is, see, he can't do it without all that talent around him. And if he goes out there and he goes 23 of 27 for 288 and three touchdowns and no picks, those of you Brockistans who live in Brockistania, you're going to say, see, he's the dude. He's the sauce. Give him $60 million. And I'm not saying that you'll say this, but people who are ready to anoint Brock and crown Brock, whatever happens on Sunday becomes a big old fat confirmation bias, because you're going to see what you want. And if you think that Brock is a product of the system and a product of the talent around him, you're going to look at a game where maybe he's underwhelming and you're going to say, well, see, Ayuk had nine catches, and other than that, he couldn't do a damn thing. Yeah. Brock's overrated.
Well, you're not wrong at all. However, just speaking for me now,
the president of Brockistan,
I'm not actually looking for something to happen to this game for me to say, see, Brock's the dude. I'll already say it.
Correct.
It's but already
I do think like, that a lot of people are looking at this game as the first time that they can have their confirmation bias be realized.
I don't know what everyone needs to wrap their head around the fact that the 49ers are going to pay this guy and keep him. The owner already said it.
Exactly.
So
going to reset the market.
A lot of people are running around with this take as if something's about to happen that's not going to happen. It's already been decided. The 49ers, the only way that changes is if there's something hellacious with injury or something just completely doesn't about face, which based on two games into this year, I'm incredibly confident is not going to happen. I don't know why it would. You know what I mean? So, like, I get the person that goes, I want to see more, but I guess my question to that person would be, you want to see more of what? What is it you're trying to convince yourself of? If what you want is, I want to see more to assess whether or not Brock is truly one of the top, you know, great quarterbacks in the game. Does he belong in that conversation? That's fine. I have no issue with that because things like that, those come out over time. I don't think 2 years into Tom Brady's career, everyone was like, well, there's the greatest player we've ever seen. That takes time. Automatically. But if you're saying I need to see more, so that I can be convinced that Brock is good and worth a contract, you're having a conversation by yourself.
Because they already think that this is a done deal.
This is gone.
Right.
It's gone. And it doesn't matter if he is somewhat of like a match with Kyle Shanahan and that's why he produces, because Kyle's also not going anywhere.
Exactly. He's going to be a match with Kyle Shanahan.
So there you go. The Niners have decided that that match really works and they're right.
Right. And it
so that's it's done.
For all of the Kirk Morrisons out there, and I love Kirk, shout out Bishop O'Dowd in Oakland, California, but all the people who are looking at stats, Brock Purdy right now has had 15 games in his career with a passer rating of 100 or greater. There are only two quarterbacks who've had more 100-plus passer rating games in their first 25 starts than Brock Purdy, and it's Patrick Mahomes and Kurt Warner.
Wow.
And he's tied
with Hall of Fame to be.
He's tied with Carson Palmer, Dak Prescott, and Tony Romo. If he has more than 100 quarterback rating here, he joins Kurt Warner in second all time. And I know passer rating's not the end all be all, but it does speak to a quarterback's efficiency and his ability to throw touchdowns and not turn the ball over. And so far, Brock Purdy is 15 for 23 in his career starts in having a passer rating of 100 or greater.
I love that Kurt Warner speaks on Brock as much as he does, because he really is, you know, the one where you can play some sort of a comp game. Whenever people do Brock Purdy and Tom Brady because of where they were drafted, it bothers people because it isn't fair. It's like, why are we talking about these two guys in the same sentence? Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer too, but here's why. Kurt got thrown in, and I know Tom did too. Everyone got thrown in because of injury, right? Kurt, Tom, Brock, everyone got thrown in because of injury. But you know what Tom did? Tom took a bunch of whatever receivers, and there was a whole Patriot way that turned this thing into an incredibly sustainable dynasty. Kurt Warner walked onto a field where he was surrounded by Hall of Famers, surrounded by the most unbelievable collection of skill position players that I had ever seen in my life when it happened.
They had a nickname.
Thank you.
When your offense has a nickname, it's probably pretty good.
And the word in it was show. I know two
and
teams.
Greatest.
Right. And I know two teams that got that. The Rams of Kurt Warner and the Lakers of Magic Johnson.
Right.
That's it. That's the list.
When your unit has a nickname like Legion of Boom, right, or Steel Curtain or whatever you want, if your defense or your offense has a nickname, it's probably pretty good.
And for those of you who weren't here when this happened, it was very rare that people looked at Kurt Warner, who wasn't drafted at all. It was very rare that people looked at the way he was playing and went, well, I mean, he's got really good players around him. So he's not actually doing anything. He's a trust fund baby. No one said that. People were like, who the hell is this guy? This is incredible.
And he also had an offensive coordinator who was revolutionary.
Absolutely.
In Mike Martz.
Totally. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Now, we are referencing, you just referenced Kirk Morrison. He was on the morning show. If you're new to, if you just jumped on, getting off work, whatever it is, let's play it for you. It's almost a minute long. Stay for the last 10 seconds. That's what really got people discussing things.
At the end of the day, we've also seen a larger sample size, right? Especially with Matthew Stafford. He's larger sample size. I think Dak Prescott, same thing, larger sample size. But when it comes to Brock Purdy, we're still thinking about it. And then you still got buyer's remorse. I mean, I really feel like, you know, Brandon Ayuk walked in there, robbed the 49ers with no mask on, and now you're stuck with a contract of like, man, is this going to be the player or not? I think that's also something that's in the back of the mind of a lot of people as well, is, okay, you've got the weapons now. It's not like Brock Purdy doesn't have the weapons. He's got them. Can he make this team go? And that's all it is. Week in and week out, you got one of the best defenses in the league. I think we want to see more statistically. We want to see more where the 49ers won because of Brock Purdy, not despite Brock Purdy, if that makes sense.
I mean, first of all, no, I don't want to see more statistically. Second of all, I don't know what stats you're missing. 4,280 yards last year, 31 touchdowns, 11 picks, fifth in the MVP, and number one rated quarterback in the league. So apparently it's not those stats you're looking for. I don't need any other stats, but the other comment is even worse. I would just tell Kirk, and I swear I'd say this to him if he's sitting right here. I love Kirk also. Kirk, if you don't think the Niners are winning because of Brock Purdy, you need to have a conversation with Fred Warner, and I would hope that you respect him. Fred can't stop talking about how Brock Purdy is the reason that they've got a chance every year. And, of course, he's right. I love what Jay Gruden said yesterday about, like, I mean, this conversation we consistently have here in the Bay Area about, like, who's the most important player on the team. He said, well, the quarterback is a completely different animal.
Exactly.
Of course it's quarterback.
It's always the quarterback. It's
always, always, always the quarterback, and then everybody else.
Yeah, it's fascinating when you look at it from just, if you took the names off of the resumes, I'm looking at a guy who went 21-6 his first 2 years with 7,800 yards, 62 touchdowns, but 31 picks. Then you take another guy who had 6,500 yards. He went 20 and 10 his first 2 years.
Okay.
46 touchdowns, 26 picks. Sounds like a lot. And then you have a guy who has gone 18-5 with 6,200 yards and 45 touchdowns and 16 picks. All pretty similar. It's Tom Brady, it's Kurt Warner, and it's Brock Purdy.
Except for one of them's turning the ball over a lot less.
Right.
Brock Purdy.
And the other two have rings in their first two full years as a starter.
They also have yellow jackets.
Right. And they have, well, Brady has a yellow jacket, obviously, and Kurt Warner went on to have a yellow jacket career. But early in their careers, Brady had 26 picks his first 2 years, but he had a ring. And Kurt Warner had 31 picks his first 2 years, but he also had a ring. And Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, doesn't have a ring, but he turns it over a lot less, and he doesn't have quite the same yardage totals, but his TD interception ratios are exactly the same as those two other guys who have gold jackets.
What were Tom's yards?
His first 2 years, he had 6,600 yards.
And Brock has?
Brock has, through 23 games, he's got 6,200.
62.
And Tom did that in 30 games.
And Brock has?
23 games.
Okay, so actually, I would argue his yardage is more.
Correct.
It's tracking for much, much more.
Right.
And people do forget the way Tom Brady, early in his career, they forget that offense. Tom Brady was not slinging it around.
No, and he had 12 picks his first year when they won the Super Bowl, yep. And he had 14 the next year. Brock Purdy had...
He had 11 last year.
Right. He has 16 picks in 23 starts.
Okay.
So... His rates are lower interception-wise than both those guys. And I know that Kurt Warner threw it a lot more. Greatest show on turf.
Sure.
They also had Marshall Faulk, which was, you know, kind of helpful.
Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce.
Yep.
Torrey Holt. Was Oz Hakeem?
Yep, I believe so.
Jeez.
If you want to compare they what Kurt so had, it actually compares very well to what Brock has normally, which is what makes this Sunday, for me, all the more fascinating, because all of a sudden you don't have Isaac Bruce, Oz Hakeem, nor do you have Marshall Faulk.
I can't remember that ever even happening, by the way. I don't remember Kurt Warner having to go play a game with, like, you know, whoever, well, who was wide receiver 5. I don't even know who that was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just fascinating, man. Look, we're beyond used to it. We're beyond used to it. I just what I focus on is not someone's opinion, because that is granted. You're allowed to have a perspective and opinion. If you think Brock is lesser than, if you think he's not that good, product of the system, product of teammates, whatever, it's totally fine. What I point to are the little things that I hear that are just provably false, right? We had the text in earlier, Xfinity Mobile text line. Everything's a screen pass. Oh, my God. Provably false. All right? How about Patrick Peterson? He was on the morning show. I thought this was a great conversation that the guys had. Take a listen to what he said with things that are related to Brock. First of all, just his thoughts on Purdy the QB.
So, like, for me, especially having an opportunity to play against Brock and have an opportunity to game plan against him and watch film, he's almost like, it's just their offense. You know, they are an inside-the-numbers offense, passing game-wise. If you look at majority of Brandon Ayuk routes, he's running skinny slants. He's running, not skinny slants, he's running glance routes, skinny posts. You know, it's very rarely that he's running out routes or Brock Purdy is throwing the ball outside the numbers. So if you're able to pack the middle of the field and force San Francisco 49ers or Brock Purdy to beat you with their left hand, then you can get them in a passing game. But the running game is what sets up the passing game for the San Francisco 49ers, setting up the play action, setting up the boots, setting up the screens. So that's a task in his own, trying to stop the run. And that's what makes them so lethal, because their running game is so efficient. It just makes everything come together.
It's just funny. It's funny to hear that. For those of you who don't know, Patrick Peterson was with the Steelers last year and literally said before the game that he was going to get a pick. He almost did. I'll give him that. Oddly, in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
But he also got beat for 2 touchdowns. Brock Purdy was 19 of 29 for 220 with 2 touchdowns and no interceptions in that football game. The running game was very good. McCaffrey had 22 carries for 152, but 65 of them was 1 carry. I'm just listening to him talk, and you're like, I don't know why defenders do this. Well, the only routes they're running are this. And it's rare that he throws over there. If you know exactly what they're doing, how come you can't stop it?
Exactly.
Why? Why does it sound this way repeatedly? You got a line of people to be like, well, all they're doing is, beating you. All they're doing is beating you.
Yeah, you know what they're running, and you can't stop it. That becomes fascinating. And, well, you know, everything's set up by the run. Well, now they have a different running back. They have an undrafted guy who's number 2 in football in rushing yards. And, yeah, all they do is run the ball yet so far through 2 weeks, including a very good Jets defense that was able to stop Ramondre Stevenson quite handily. You couldn't stop Jordan Mason. So what is it?